Good morning. Welcome to Crossing. We're glad you're with us here today. Our heart, our vision here at the Crossing is to spread this message, this of hope of Jesus Christ and knowing him and experiencing him all across this world. The avenue that God's laid on our hearts to do this is through planting churches. We've already planted several churches and we have more in the pipeline. We believe that God's heart, his plan is to go wide, to reach all, that all could hear and all could know. The mission of how we accomplish that is to become a disciple that makes disciples of Christ. When you look at the Word of God, you see the Great Commandment and you see the Great Commission. The Great Commandment is becoming a disciple. It says to love God with all your heart, mind, and your soul, and love your neighbor as yourself, Matthew chapter 22. But then moving beyond that, he says in Matthew 28 in the Great Commission, he says to go into all the world and make disciples. And that's our heart. That's our mission. That's our vision that God has planned within us. And we're excited to see it play out and the great things that God has been doing over the life of the last 10 years of the Crossing. So we're glad you're with us here today. We're in the middle of a series called New Wine. And we've been looking from the passage of Luke chapter 5 and this concept, this thought of change that we face in our life. Because if we look at the processes and if you just kind of reflect, the truth is none of us truly like change. We generally all hate change. We don't like anything about it. It shifts inside of us. We don't like the frustrations of it. When we like our well-worn past, we like our comfort zone, how things go, you know, our own little bubble. We like that well-worn path of which way we want to go. We know that. But if we're not careful, those well-worn paths can easily come in to a rut. So the first week we talked about embracing change and what that looks like in Luke chapter 5 and recognizing that you have to be willing to embrace change. Even when you may not like it, you can realize that God has something big for your life and you have to embrace that. Last week we talked about a new vessel, a new direction, that God literally wants to create and make a vessel within you. He has a design, a plan. And so this week, we're going to talk about the expansion, a new vessel, but a new growth, and how God wants to grow you and expand you to what he created you to be. Because with new life comes a new season of growth and expansion. So look in Luke chapter 5, verse 37. This is the passage we've been walking through. It says, "And no one puts new wine into old wineskins, for the new wine would burst the wineskins, spilling into the wine, ruining the skins. New wine must be stored into new wineskins. But no one who drinks the old wine seems to want the new wine. The old is just fine, they say." So I want to break down for you today and kind of look at what this was. The first, let's look at a new wineskin. What is a new wineskin? Well, if you look at this picture here, the new wineskin, what they would do when they would create the wine, it literally was often like a goat's skin. They would take it, they would skin the goat, and they would tan it out, and they would use the skin to place the wine, the crushing grapes. They'd pour this grape juice, per se, into these wineskins, and it would allow them to ferment. And the fermenting process, if you notice, though, go back to that one. In the fermenting process, you could see how they would tie an end right there on the edges of the different points of the actual skin. And when the carbonation would begin to form and the fermenting process would take place, it would literally begin to expand in that it would seep out of these holes. Now go to the next. You can see once it's fermented, these wineskins become literally stretched to their capacity. And they take on an entirely new shape. When before they were small, they were wrinkly, they didn't have this expansion. But through that process of fermentation, you can see literally the skins begin to stretch into their capacity, into their new complete thinking. And the idea behind this is the elasticity of it. If you put that new wine into an old wineskin, when it's already been shaped into another form, and you put new wine in, what would happen is the skin would literally burst and break, and it would ruin the skin. And so you have this process here. They knew that new wine must go into a new wineskin. Jesus is talking about this in this process, and he's dealing with our lives as individual. When you come to Christ, when you come to him and you submit your life to him, he's saying you are as a new wineskin. You're a new vessel. God has something completely new and whole for your life. And as you begin to allow him to pour into you, what happens is he begins to expand you and shift you into a completely different individual, a completely different human. And why? Because because you are found now a new vessel in Christ. You're a new creation in Christ, as we looked at over the last couple of weeks. But in our lives, we like routine. In our lives, we like things in our own bubble. And what happens is we become this rigid thinking, and we're not able to shift from that thinking process. There's a video I've seen recently that kind of explains some of this, and I want you to take a look at it.
Welcome back to Smarter Every Day. You've heard people say it's just like riding a bike, meaning it's really easy and you can't forget how to do it, right? But I did something. I did something that damaged my mind. It happened on the streets of Amsterdam, and I got really scared, honestly. I can't ride a bike like you can anymore. Before I show you the video of what happened, I need to tell you the backstory. Like many six-year-olds with a MacGyver mullet, I learned how to ride a bike when I was really young. I had learned a life skill, and I was really proud of it. Everything changed, though, when my friend Barney called me 25 years later. Where I work, the welders are geniuses, and they like to play jokes on the engineers. He had a challenge for me. He had built a special bicycle, and he wanted me to try to ride it. He had only changed one thing. When you turn the handlebar to the left, the wheel goes to the right. When you turn it to the right, the wheel goes to the left. I thought this would be easy, so I hopped on the bike, ready to demonstrate how quickly I could conquer this.
And here he is, ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Destin Sandlin. First attempt riding the bicycle.
All right. So, the faster I go, the better.
Yeah.
I couldn't do it. You can see that I'm laughing, but I'm actually really frustrated. In this moment, I had a really deep revelation. My thinking was in a rut. This bike revealed a very deep truth to me. I had the knowledge of how to operate the bike, but I did not have the understanding. Therefore, knowledge is not understanding. Look, I know what you're probably thinking. Destin's probably just an uncoordinated engineer and can't do it. But that's not the case at all. The algorithm that's associated with riding a bike in your brain is just that complicated. Think about it. Downwards force on the pedals, leaning your whole body, pulling and pushing the handlebars, gyroscopic precession in the wheels, every single force is part of this algorithm. And if you change any one part, it affects the entire control system. I do not make definitive statements that often, but I'm telling you right now, you cannot ride this bicycle. You might think you can, but you can't. I know this because I'm often asked to speak at universities and conferences, and I take the bike with me. It's always the same. People think they're going to try some trick or they're just going to power through it. It doesn't work. Your brain cannot handle this. For instance, this guy. I offered him $200 just to ride this bike 10 feet across the stage. Everybody thought he could do it.
No, you didn't understand. So, this way. Whenever you're ready. Yeah.
Wait.
No, you have to keep your feet on. Dude, alright, here we go. Just give me a... Wait. Like, you gotta start rolling at least. And go. Keep your feet on the pedal. Go.
Go right off.
Just keep your feet on the pedal.
Tails on.
Yep, come on. All right, one more time.
Once you have a rigid way of thinking in your head, sometimes you cannot change that, even if you want to. So here's what I did. It was a personal challenge. I stayed out here in this driveway and I practiced about 5 minutes every day. My neighbors made fun of me. I had many wrecks, but after 8 months, this happened. One day I couldn't ride the bike and the next day I could. It was like I could feel some kind of pathway in my brain that was now unlocked. It was really weird though. It's like there's this trail in my brain, but if I wasn't paying close enough attention to it, my brain would easily lose that neural path and jump back onto the old road it was more familiar with. Any small distractions at all, like a cell phone ringing in my pocket, would instantly throw my brain back to the old control algorithm and I would wreck. But at least I could ride it. My son is the closest person to me genetically, and he's been riding a normal bike for 3 years. That's over half his life. I wanted to know how long it would take him to learn how to ride a backwards bike, so I told him if he learned how to ride a backwards bike, he could go with me to Australia and meet a real astronaut. Are you going to give up?
No.
Go ahead. This is how it starts. Look at this. This is such a big deal. Get up. You got it. Did you see his brain get it? So he, in how many weeks have we been doing this? 2 weeks? In 2 weeks, he did something that took me 8 months to do, which demonstrates that a child has more neuroplasticity. Am I even saying that right? Than an adult.
It's clear from this experiment that children have a much more plastic brain than adults. That's why the best time to learn a language is when you're a young child.
So if you would like to watch that, you can Google it. There's a little bit more to the video. But what the process he begins to show is the rigid thinking that we have in our minds. He goes and does in the video, if you want to watch it on, he'll go to Amsterdam and he literally tries to ride the bike and people think he's faking it. But somewhere along the way, it clicks back and he's able to ride it. It's a great video. But it demonstrates a powerful lesson. The rigid thinking that we have. You see, what happens in some of your lives here today is you believe that even though you love God, even though you serve God, even though you've asked him into your heart, you believe that there's only a certain thing or way God can use you. But the reality is that's simply not true. You see, each of you are a vessel of God. He created you. In Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 4, it says, before you were even formed in your mother's womb, God knew you and had a purpose for your life. So that in its very essence takes you to another level because you have a purpose when others are seeking purpose by the very nature of understanding that you're created by God, for God, by understanding that you recognize you have purpose and you have meaning. The real question really remains is, are you willing to allow God to stretch you into something new? Think of your life as a simple balloon. In this balloon, what we often do is we fill it up with the stuff of life, don't we? You know, whether it be work, whether it be family, whether it be school, whatever it may be, hobbies, and we tie it off and we live this life that we have, this life of frustration at times, this life of struggles, and then we have this process of trying to balance life. And we find it difficult at times because, you know what, it's hard to keep life still. But the whole concept behind this is we are in control because it's our life. It's what we want to do with it. And at its very core, it takes on a new shape, but we're only allowed to do so much. We can only maintain it so much. You see, Oliver Wendell Holmes says it like this: a mind stretched by a new idea never returns to its original shape. When you look at this, God's plan for your life, his plan for you far outweighs anything you could ever plan for yourself. He has, you can try, you can pour all the air you want into it, and you can balance the best you want, but the reality is you'll only get so far. You'll only be able to accomplish so much because you are in control. But God wants great things for you. Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, the plans that are good, not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope." You see, God's plans will always stretch you beyond your perceived capacity. You get that? In your life, you say, "Well, God, this is all you have for me. This is what you have because this is what I can control. This is what I can handle." But the truth is, God's plans for you go greater than your own capacity. He wants to bless you. He wants you to see amazing things. But you've got to be willing to trust that he is in control. You've got to be willing to trust that he wants great things for your life. Matthew 13:33 says it like this. Jesus used this illustration. He said, "The kingdom of heaven is like yeast, a woman making bread." Woman used in making bread. "Even though she puts just a little yeast in the 3 measures of flour, it permeated every part of the dough." What is that saying? It stretches the dough. The dough may just be three measures of flour, maybe small, but when the yeast, when the kingdom of God comes into it, everything expands. Everything changes. You begin to see two things. One, your current reality, and two, God's vision for you. And it changes. But you cannot accept the vision that God has without knowing your current reality. Recently, I've been helping Shree. We've been going on some trips, doing some training opportunities, and so I've been going along with him. And we were on this particular trip a couple weeks ago to Chicago. And so I learned real quickly, you know, he likes to get there right in time and just, you know, it's not be late, but let's just get there in time. And so the first time we get there, we're rushing through and he's like, we're good. So I'm a little nervous. I'm one of those guys like this. I told him this last time. I said, I like to go to the airport and like get there an hour or two early and sip on coffee. Anybody else understand what I'm saying? It's like, I'm there, I'm early, I'm feeling good. And so on our way home, now this isn't his fault. I know he would want me to tell you that because he's told me many times this is not his fault. But we get to the airport and we find out as we get there, it's late on a Tuesday evening, we find out your flight has been canceled. And I'm like, oh no, what do we do? It's one of the last flights out because of the weather in Dallas. We're not able to go. And so, you know, you're thinking, it's just one of those, man, that stinks. Well, we're at the desk and we're talking and Shree is like, we gotta find a way. Like, I have another training. I've got to be back. And I'm like, bro, it ain't going to happen, you know? He's like, we got to find a way. And like, it's got to happen. And so we start talking to this lady, and they're like, no, there's no way. And finally, through a series of talking, she says, you know what? I mean, I don't even know if you can get this, but there's a flight. Maybe I can get you on the United flight that goes to LAX. Well, I don't even recall at this time. Let me pause where it goes. I can get you another flight that we can get you, like basically two red eyes to get you to Dallas. And he's like, done. So before I can even process this, now keep in mind, I'm carrying a bag full of books, heavy bag and a backpack, you know, here. And I am by far not the most in shape guy you've ever seen in your life. I mean, I'm processing this thing like, are we going to do this? Boom, here goes Shriek. I mean, he's taking off. And I'm like, dear God. Like, and I notice he's holding both tickets in his hands. I'm like, now I'm in real trouble. So here I go, man. We're taking off. All they told us was you're in Terminal 3 or Terminal 4. And, you know, you've got to go to Terminal 1. What they didn't tell us was the mile track that's going to be. Now, keep in mind, I'm not in shape, so I'm running, right? I'm running, and about halfway through, I'm thinking, I'm going to die. Oh, God, you know? Like, and you think I'm joking, but prayers were being offered up. Jesus, don't let me have a heart attack on the terminal tarmac here in Chicago O'Hare Airport. Oh, God, and he's not even stopping. Homeboy's not looking for me. He's like, he's taking off, and I'm like, I'm going to die. I got to go. So if you've seen some big guy running through the airport on a Snapchat or something, that's probably me, you know? And so I'm like, I'm just like dying. And along the way, I'm like, you know, I'm getting there. So we finally get into the terminal. And as we get through, Shree just takes off. TSA standing there to check the tickets. He's like, no. And like, they're looking at him, talking to him. And I'm like, I'm with him. He has the ticket. So I keep on running. And so we're running through there. And finally we get up to the TSA and they say, you know what? You don't have your ticket. He's like, what do you mean you don't have your ticket? He's like, you don't have your boarding pass. Great. So we run back around on the way out. The TSA people are like, you fools. I told you you didn't have a ticket. We get up there and the ticket counter and the lady says, sorry, the flight's closed. And I think there was a manager standing there. I think he felt sorry for this guy because I'm like, you know, like I'm like literally in prayer. Like, I'm not kidding. Jesus, don't let me die here. This is not the plan. Oh, God, you know. And so finally, the guy's like, well, let me see. There is a way, but I mean, you got to run. That's going to be at the other end. Of course it is, right? The turn, like the gate's the opposite end, another mile. You know, I'm like, you have got to be kidding me. And before I can even process this, there goes Shriek. And I'm like, oh, God. So, like, we fly, we get in there, we finally, thank God TSA didn't stop. I think they felt sorry for us. You know, like, these guys can't be blowing up nothing because they're just, like, barely making it. We get through, they do the check, and they didn't stop us for anything. So we take off, we get on the plane, and we're those people, right? When everybody's like, we're waiting here for them, and we're like, and they're all like, oh, so I'm like, sorry. You know, sorry. You know, you feel so bad because everybody's waiting on the plane for those people. We get on there. At this point, he probably knows, but I'm still processing, like, where are we flying to, right? Where are we even going? But my lungs have been expanded to a whole new level. Like, it brought me back to when I was in football. You know, you'd be in football practice, and they'd work you in the cold, and your lungs would burn. Yeah, I had that whole burning sensation. I'm like, I'm coughing, you know, and everybody's looking at me like, is he going to make it? You know, I'm like, I think so. You know, I hope so. I prayed. And so anyway, we get on there just to make the story even funnier because you couldn't really even believe this happened. I'm still trying to process where you are. And this lady there over the loudspeaker, whose Black Banner is this right here? hey, who left this banner here? I'm like, Sheree, that's you. He's like, he's still trying to settle in too. And he's like, who's black? Please push your button. So he's like, I go, bing, I hit it. And he's like, hey. They're like, oh. And so anyway, we finally get on the flight. And as we're getting there, I'm like, where are we going? He's like, Los Angeles. I'm like, we're going to LAX. Are you serious? You know, and so anyway, the story could go on and on, literally, those who've heard it. But long, long, long story and night shortened. I was expanded beyond all expansion, you know. And I said, dear Jesus, get me home. Don't let me die on an airplane or in the airport. And I will get in shape. I'll do whatever it takes, God. You have taught me some valuable lessons here. On my own accord, I only had so much air, and Lord knows I was sucking wind. I could only do so much. And there are times in your life sometimes where you're pushed beyond your capacity and you realize your limits. You have to understand your limits will only take you so far. But when you're willing to say, God, I'm going to trust you. God, I'm going to put you first in my life. Things begin to change. Because now you're no longer just trying to make it through your life. You're no longer just trying to balance this process. Everything begins to change. You begin to learn what it means to live by the Spirit. You see, at your own level, at your own ability, there's only so much you can do. But see, here's what happens. When you come to the Lord and you say, Holy Spirit, I give you my life. I give my life to you. I ask you to come in. There's still air that changes you. It still takes on an entirely new creation, doesn't it? It's a new form. But now it's different, isn't it? It's different. Because now you're not operating on your own strength, but you have something that's keeping you. It's elevating you to another level. At your own strength, you can only go so far. But when you begin to say, God, I give everything to you. I would say the sky is the limit. But there's no ceilings in your life. We'll leave it like that. But you are taken to another level. And yes, at that level, there are still challenges. Just because you're raised to another level does not mean life is perfect. Just because he raised you to another level does not mean life gets easy. There are still things there to pop you. There are still things there to harm you. But here's the difference. You're elevated. Why? Because you're willing to say, God, what can you do in me? At my level, I can only go so far. At my level, think of this. At my level, I have to be the one that's balancing it. I have to be the one that's trying to keep things in check. But at his level, he takes you way beyond your thoughts. Why? Because he knows the plans he has for you. Plans to prosper you, not to pop you or harm you. He has plans to help you. But you have two choices. You can say, okay, Lord, I got this. He's going to say, okay, you got it. See, what you may not understand is the Holy Spirit is a gentleman. He's not going to force you to serve him. You don't have to. He wants you to, but you don't have to. But if you're willing to say, Lord, I'm tired of my own way of doing things. I need you. You're going to discover an elevated life. Look at Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. It says this. So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. The sinful nature wants to do evil. which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are opposite of what the sinful nature desires. These two forces are constantly fighting each other so that you are not free to carry out your good intentions. But it says, let the Holy Spirit guide your life. When you do, it raises you to a new level of life. You begin to experience, not that there's not ceilings in life, not that there's not trials in life, because they're there. But you find yourself with a whole new perspective. When an eagle is flying in a storm, oftentimes, if they're not in a place where they can receive safety, studies show that they stiffen their wings to their fullest capacity and they rise above the storm. And they stay there where they had a new perspective in the safety and the calm above the storm until they're able to find a place of safety. In your life today, maybe you're going through a hard time. Maybe you're in a situation. Maybe you've never been willing to allow the Holy Spirit to come into your life and accept Him as your Savior. And you found yourself just juggling and balancing life. And you realized you're not making it. You're tired. The Holy Spirit speaking to you this morning saying, hey, give me a chance. Come to me. See what I have for you. For I know the plans I have for you to prosper, to give you hope and a future. Or maybe you've accepted Christ before, but you know what? You've forgotten about the strength and the power that He has, and you've been relying on your own strength. And you're wondering why you're so tired, why you're so weary. And it's because you've been relying on your physical strength. Philippians 4:13 says this, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. And we think about that oftentimes. I can do all things. I can do this. I have physical strength. But when you study that, you find what? It's not that it's physical strength that you can do. It's the spiritual strength that comes within. That word, all things through strength, what is he talking about? That strength lies within, when you look in Ephesians 3, it lies within what? A spiritual strength that God gives you. And the reason some of you are so tired is because you have been trying to do it all with your strength. But God's speaking to you this morning saying, hey, come to me. Trust in my strength. I want you to close your eyes and reflect on that this morning. Maybe you're here and, as we said, you don't know Christ. We never want to close a service without giving you that opportunity, because we believe that is the single most important decision you will ever make in your life. And if you're here today and you don't know Christ, and you've been trying to balance this life on your own, but today God's speaking to you saying, hey, I want to help you. I want to fill you up. I want to give you strength. With no one looking around, out of respect for others, if that's you today and you're saying, hey, I want the Lord to come into my life. I want to ask Him to be my Savior. I want Him to fill me up instead of my own strength. I just want you to make eye contact with me. I want to pray with you right where you're sitting. We're not going to embarrass you, call you out. Just right where you're sitting, I want to pray with you. Anybody here today? Have accepted Him before, but life's been difficult. You've not been serving Him. You've asked Him into your heart, but you've been trying it on your own. Today He's saying, hey, I want you to rely on me. Maybe that's you this morning. You're saying, hey, the Lord's speaking to rely on Him. Anybody else today? Anybody relate to that? God. When to do two prayers. One, for those of you that are accepting Christ or rededicating your life to the Lord, I want to pray with you. And then for those of you that are needing His strength, we're going to pray as well in just a moment. But let's start first with those that are here, that are tired, that trying to do it on your own. You want Jesus to become your Lord and Savior. Rededicate your life to Him. We're going to pray. Romans chapter 10 tells us if we confess with our mouth that He is Lord and believe in our hearts that He rose, died on the cross, and rose again for us, then we're saved. It's a confession, which is a prayer that you pray and we'll lead you in. But then it's the belief of saying, okay, Lord, I'm going to live for You. And let's pray this morning, if you would. I'm going to ask that everyone pray. Those of you that have accepted Christ as your Savior, and let it be a reminder of what He's done. But those of you that are coming to Him, either for the first time or rededicating, make this your prayer. But let's all pray together, if you would, to not single anyone out. Say, dear Jesus, I come to You today, and I ask You to forgive me of my sins. I believe that You died for me and rose again for me. And now today, I choose live for You.